In Jesus' name. Almighty God, we want to thank you for this glorious and golden to stay alive, because we have woken up to a good and a wonderful day. This is the day that you, the Lord God, has made. We rejoice and we are glad in today. Father, that is why we have come into your presence. Lord, we pray for your blessings upon your people this morning. As we enter into the Holy of Holies, we pray for a touch by you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we are going to go into the Sunday school. My Father, my God, all the questions, all the doubts, all the areas of confusion in our lives, my Father, my God, I pray that your word will address them this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we are preparing a heavenly citizen, my Lord and my God, because Abraham knew that he was waiting for a city whose builder was God. This morning, we prepare a people who is waiting for a city whose builder is God, the New Jerusalem. Therefore, Lord, as your word will go forth this morning, every heart will be prepared to receive from you in Jesus' name. Every heart will be geared towards looking unto heaven this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because when you will come, we will be ready. When you will come, Lord, we will be ready in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, for those of us who are not used to it, this morning what we are going to do is to start the church with a Sunday school, what we normally do. You see, when the preacher comes to preach and gives a sermon, you cannot stop the preacher and say, look, what you have said is not correct, or that area is not clear to me. But when we have Sunday school like this, there is the opportunity for us to ask questions. Maybe God has been saying something to you, and you are in the midst of the children of God. You can then share what God has been telling you. So it's wonderful to have Sunday school like this. So I believe that the Holy Spirit himself will teach us this morning in Jesus' name. This morning, by the special grace of God, we are looking at a very wonderful topic: the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ. That's what we are looking at. Because the Bible makes me to understand that heaven and earth will do what? We pass away. Heaven and earth will what? We pass away. Everything we see now, there will come a time when they will pass away. You see, that's why when people talk about global warming, I'm not surprised. I know we will try. We will do all we can to stem it. But it's a matter of time. I won't be surprised, because the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away. There's a way. Something has to give. It cannot continue. I mean, scientists have told us that there used to be we know from history that there used to be civilizations before the current civilization we have. Did they pass away or not? They pass away. This current civilization will also pass away. Everything as we know it now, there will come a time when they will pass away. But there are things that endure forever. We know that we serve a God that is unchanging. We know that we serve a God whose word is enduring, and his word never changes. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That is the kind of God we serve. So there are some things that endures unto eternity. And that is God. And that is the word of God. So this morning we are looking at the second coming of Christ, the things he has planned, because that's going to be the wrap up. That is going to be the final things in the plan of God for man. And we need to know about it very well. And I'm going to, as you can see from the bulletin you've got in your hands, one of the things that's led me to put this topic forward this morning is a comment that somebody made. But before we get to that, we are going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6 to 11. Open your Bible to Acts, chapter 1. We are going to read verse 6 to 11. Can we have people from the congregation read, please? Acts 1, 6 to 11. Can I have somebody read? Praise the Lord. And our memory verse is taken from verse 11. And I want us to say it together. We're going to say it three times together. It's in your bulletin. One, two, three, go. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Can we go again? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And for the last time, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Praise God. This is the whole essence of our worship. This is the whole essence of our hope. This is the whole essence of our being. That this same Jesus, who was taken to heaven, will in like manner come back again to be seen by us. Otherwise, we have no business coming to church if Jesus is not coming back again. I told you that I have read an English translation of the Quran, and it actually tells us that Jesus is coming back again. I've read it with my eyes. So there's an agreement that he's coming back. There may be a disagreement as to what he's coming to do, but there's an agreement that he's coming. And that is something that should give us joy. Why are we talking about it like this at this point in time? As many people in the church will know, recently, and when I say recently, I'm talking about in the last 2 weeks, we experienced a very, very unfortunate incident. The passing away of a very, very close friend of mine, whom I had known for like almost 30 years. A doctor who died at the age of 49. He wasn't sick, no hypertension, no high cholesterol level, no high blood sugar, nothing at all was wrong with him. And within 45 minutes, he passed away. And many of us went with us, and we had the funeral last Thursday. But on Wednesday, before the funeral, we laid him in state, so to say. And many people came to have a look, to bid him goodbye. We were there, all of us, crying. And one of the people, a Christian of many years, a doctor, came to me. He just came and stood beside me. And he said, "You see, when I go to church, they tell me God will prosper me. They tell me God will bless me. They tell me God will do wonderful things in my life." He said, "But nobody is preparing me for a day like this." He said, "Nobody is preparing me for a day like this." And I thought, as children of God, we need to be talking about something like this. Because, in fact, if you live very long, you probably live 120 years. Okay, maybe you live very, very long, you live 140 years or even 200 years on earth. But one of the things that should agitate our mind, the question we must constantly ask ourselves is, where are we going to spend the rest of eternity? In eternity, 200 years is like nothing. Because the Bible says, 1,000 years is like what? It's like a day before God. So in eternity, we have countless number of years to spend in eternity. And so, the way we spend the 70, 80, 90 years here is so crucial if we are going to spend eternity in the right place. Hence, we have to talk about the second coming of Christ, so as to prepare the saints. The question that brother asked me that day challenged me. He said, "And nobody is telling me or preparing me for a day like this." In other words, the day he will be lying still and people will be coming to see him. The day I will be lying still and people will be coming to see me. And I will not be a participant anymore. I will just be an object that people come to see. So we need to be prepared. God will prepare us, and I believe we are going to cooperate with God. And on that day, you'll be one of those that Jesus will welcome in Jesus' name. So we are talking about the second coming of Jesus. And it is my belief that the earth will remember you for what you did for men. But heaven will welcome you for things you did for heaven, and also for the things you did on behalf of heaven. In other words, what I'm telling us this morning is, everything should be geared towards heaven. So, when you want to help somebody, help them because of heaven. When you want to give, give because of heaven. When you want to pray, pray because of heaven. When you are asking God to bless you, do you know why you should be asking God to bless you? Because of heaven. So that you can use it to the glory of God in a way that you'll be building treasures for yourself in heaven. Everything that is done and not done with the purpose of heaven in focus is a waste. So remember this statement, that people will remember you for the good you do for men on earth. But heaven will remember you for what? For the things you do for heaven, and the things you do for men on behalf of heaven. Everything you do for men on behalf of yourself, waiting that you are going to get a return, waiting that when the shoe is on the other foot, that you get a payback, is for you. But that which you are doing on behalf of Jesus, and you are saying, "Even if this person refuses to pay me back, I know Jesus will pay me," is for heaven. that hand of fellowship that you extend to your Christian brother. Not because they are the most pleasant person to live with or to be with, but you did it because of Jesus, because of where you want to go, that you are doing for what? For heaven. And I like it when God sent Peter to Cornelius. You remember what God said to Cornelius before he sent Peter to him? He said, I've heard your prayers and I've seen your alms, your giving. He said, they've risen to me as a memorial. And God, because he's been giving something towards heaven, God sent somebody for his salvation. God would send somebody to you for your salvation today in Jesus' name. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Everything must be done on behalf of heaven. Everything must be done with heaven in focus. Otherwise, what a waste of time. Otherwise, what a waste of time. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Maybe I better read.
But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Praise the Lord. He said, lay treasure where? He didn't say don't lay up treasures. He said lay up treasures where? Where are we supposed to lay up our treasures? In heaven. Where thieves, where nobody can destroy it. Do you know it's possible for people to destroy your good works? In 1 minute like that. 1 minute. There's a case in hand. Mr. Strascan, what's his name? The IMF boss. It is said that he did not do what he was accused to have done. But what he did was a bit different. But what we are saying is that you can look at 62 years of labor in just one day. So that's why the Bible says don't lay your treasure on earth, because here it can be destroyed. But when you lay it in heaven, nobody can destroy it. Lay it up in heaven and nobody will be able to destroy it. And he now goes on to say, he said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Praise the Lord. We may not be able to finish the Sunday school this morning. I have shared with the church on how to know where your treasure is. I learned this from someone too. How to know where your treasure is. Because the Bible says, wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart is. So in other words, if anyone wants to find where your love is, where your heart is, they should look for where your treasure is. Praise God. So this wonderful man of God then shared with us how God taught him to look for people's treasure and therefore locate where their heart is. Do you want to find where your treasure is this morning? Are you interested? How many of us are interested in knowing where our treasure is? I'm interested. Praise the Lord. Are you really? Let's raise up our hands. So if you really want to find out where your treasure is, aha, praise God. Aha. So let's go through it this morning. You sure you really want to know where your treasure is? Praise God. How many of us have got credit cards? I have one. In case you think I'm thinking you are unrighteous by having a credit card, I have one. How many of us have credit cards? Let's be honest about it. Okay. How many of us get bank statements? Maybe that's easier. How many of us get bank statements? You either check it online or you get it. Oh, good. When you get your bank statements and you go through, what are the things you spend your money on? Your house repayment, yes. What else? Food, yes. Clothes, yes. Bills, yes. Praise God. When you look at where you spend your money, because that's one of the treasures you've got. When you look at where you spend your money, that tells you where your treasure is, isn't it? Because some of the things you treasure most is money. We treasure money. We don't just... How many of us earn our money and just throw it around? We don't. We value our money and we spend it paying mortgages, doing this, doing that, you know, buying clothes, buying makeup, and so on. That is your where your treasure is going, and that is where your heart is. The other thing that will tell you where your heart is or where your treasure is where you spend your time. What do you spend your time doing? In front of TV, working. That is where your treasure is. That is where your heart is. What percentage of your time do you spend for God? What percentage of your time do you spend looking at what you can do for God? That tells you where your heart is. The love of your life will take your time. Am I right? You cannot tell somebody you love them and you don't spend time with them. You cannot tell somebody you love them and you have no time for them. I've seen homes breaking up. I've seen marriages crumbling. Not because there's no money in the marriage. In fact, I've seen rich people having their wives leave them. And you ask, why are you leaving? You are enjoying everything. And he said, look, the man has no time for me. I hardly see him. How many of us have heard that before? So time is so precious. So we don't just use our time anyhow. Wherever you spend your time tells you where your heart is. You may say otherwise, but I'm telling you, that is where your love is. Praise the Lord. So have you found your heart this morning? How many of us have found our hearts this morning? I found my heart, oh. And let's be honest with each other. You now find where your heart is. You know that your heart is where your work is. Your heart is. No. Many of us used to pray before. Many of us will pray into the night. How much time do you spend praying now? Your heart has been transferred. Your heart has gone on a transfer. God will bring back your heart to Him in Jesus' name. Just in closing the Sunday school, we are going to try to answer one of the questions that is here this morning. You see, how do I know that Jesus is coming back again? Because many of us will just say, look, how do I know? People have been saying He's coming back, He's coming back, He's coming back. And since I was born, I've been hearing that He's coming back. He hasn't come. In fact, when my parents were little, they also heard it that he's coming back, yet He hasn't come. But let me tell you something. Even though He has not come yet, there is a certainty that He is going to come. And the Bible makes us to understand that the coming of the Lord is like what? It's like a thief in the night. Except in some parts of Africa, when thieves are coming, they don't announce they are coming. But I can tell you, in some places, they tell you they are coming. But even when they tell you they are coming, if they say they are coming today, they will come yesterday. If they say they are coming tomorrow, they will make sure they come today. They will still put an element of surprise there. He says the coming of the Lord is going to be like the thief in the night. In other words, when most people are least prepared. So, we're going to see there is a need for us to remain prepared because his coming is certain. Can we quickly look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 27? Matthew 24, verse 27. Because the simplest answer to you knowing that Jesus is coming is that Jesus himself said it, and we know he cannot lie. He himself said it, that he is going to come again. He said, for just as the lightning flashes from the east and shines and is seen as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, he is going to come. And that when he comes, it's going to be known all over the world. There will be no hiding it that Jesus has come. So of a certainty, Jesus is going to come again. The scriptures also attest to it. Even before Jesus was physically born or made manifest to man. And of course, his coming will set the stage for the final redemption of man. It will bring to completion all the plan and the purpose of God for man. Because after he has come, there will be no room for correction. There will be no room to make things that have been made. There will be no room to make new things. Everything will come to an end. There will be a wrap-up of all the plans of God for man. So it's so important. After that, there is really nothing else that is going to be new. He will have concluded everything for the saints. Let's look at the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 24 to 27. Mark 13, 24 to 27. He said, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun that shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. In other words, everybody, all the saints will come together at that point. And he said, look, there will be no more need for the sun to shine. There will be no more need for the moon. Everything will have done its work in the plan and the purpose of God. So everything will go under suspension. Only the saints will now come together with him. So of a definite certainty, Jesus is coming. My brothers, my sisters, what are we doing to prepare for the coming of the Lord? He said, the coming of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, is that he will meet us prepared in Jesus' name. I say he will meet us prepared in Jesus' name. If this will help you to put things in perspective, you see, there's no way I can talk or preach or share with you that I won't talk about my recent experience. I told you about this very sad moment that occurred in the last 2 weeks. And you know what? As soon as my friend breathed his last, the nurses that attended to him, you know what they did? They removed his wedding ring. They removed everything. All those jewelries you so much love, someone else will just take them. All those beautiful shoes, some people will even fight over them. All those designer wear dresses, someone else will just take possession of them. The house you are paying for, someone else will just take over. Nothing. And you know what? It is only what people decide that they want to give you. Maybe they will buy you a dress and just give you. It's only what they decide. If they choose not to give you, wear you anything, that's the end. If they choose to wear you something, they give you what they want to give you. Everything else is immaterial. But there is eternity. And I don't want you to go away from here this morning without having that assurance. And I'm telling you, my heart is bleeding. And I'm serious, and it's coming from the depth of my heart. I don't want you to leave this place without an assurance of eternity this morning. Because everything else will matter. Nothing. It's a waste. Honestly, nothing. Nothing at all. The only thing that is yours is what you have put in your mouth. Every other thing, they will take over from you. Those who have not labored for it will come and take. And that is why God will bless your children in Jesus' name. God will make them godly people, productive people in the mighty name of Jesus, so that all that you have labored for, they can then take over and be responsible people. Otherwise, if you don't have a responsible person, you just look and say, Daddy, he hardly will buy anything. Look, let's just go and spend the money. Mommy, you know, she's always working. She's always working. Look, let's just go blow it. But the only thing you have is eternity. The only thing that I want you to have an assurance of is eternity. And this morning, you will not live without Jesus touching you in Jesus' name. So can we just rise on our feet this morning? I want you to pray to God. You have heard about the second coming of the Lord. The coming of Jesus, the second coming of Christ. Why don't you speak to him and say, Father, whatever is going to take me, Lord, I want to be a partaker. I want to be one of those you are going to gather on that day in Jesus' name. Not everybody will be gathered. Only those who have slept in Christ, only those who died in Christ will come with him. Only those who are alive in Christ will be part of the party. Every other person will not partake of it, but I want you to be a partaker of what will happen on that day. Why don't you just speak to the Lord and say, Father, I don't want to be left, you know, I don't want to be left out of the party on that day when you will come. Lord, I want to be part of the number. I want to be part of the number. I want to be part of those who will make it in Jesus' name. I want to be part of those who are going to be raptured when you come in Jesus' name. I want to be part of those who will be caught in the sky with you in the mighty name of Jesus. After I've deprived myself of all these things, after I've done all this for you, Lord, I don't want it to be a waste of time. I don't want to have wasted my time. I want to inherit eternity. Lord, I want to inherit eternity. I want you to speak to the Lord this morning and say, Father, I want to inherit eternity. All said and done, Lord, when I've left everything, Lord, I want to be able to hold on to Jesus, and I will declare that you are my inheritance because I've laid treasure in heaven. Speak to the Lord this morning. Speak to the Lord this morning. Speak to the Lord this morning. Lay your treasure in heaven, because every treasure on earth you are going to leave behind. Every treasure on earth you are going to leave behind. Or somebody will take over. Or somebody will steal. Or somebody will divert. Or somebody will do something else with you. But I want to tell you, when you lay your treasure in heaven, you can be sure that heaven will recognize you for it. Heaven will welcome you for it. So pray this morning and say, Father, I don't want to miss that opportunity, Lord, to reign with you. Father, count me worthy, O Lord. Count me worthy, O Lord. Every hindrance in my way, everything that will stop me, Lord, remove it in Jesus' name. Everything that will stop me from reigning with you, remove it in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.